I am recording. This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Christian Aid Mission's Middle East Director, Steve Van Valkenburg, on the line, and we're going to be following up on just a horrific and brutal martyrdom of about a dozen Syrian Christians at the hands of ISIS. One of them was a little boy, and in this article by Christian Aid, it's talking about how they had multiple opportunities to leave, but they chose to stay. And the ministry director had actually a very personal connection with these martyrs, as he helped, he was training the missionaries, and he helped baptize some of them. And Steve, the big question on my mind is just, where do you go from here? I mean, the ministry director, in experienced trauma of his own, having lost these members, I guess, where does it go from here?
Well, it's not easy for a person that has led these Muslims to Christ and discipled them and then to commission them into ministry. You feel like that you're a parent over them, you're a spiritual father over them, and then to see them crucified, it's not easy. And in communicating with the mission leader, it's been quite some time since it happened, and he's getting better. He keeps on processing it. But I think that the silver lining of it all is that we see that there are even hundreds of Muslim background believers, Christ followers who are Muslim background, and now in Syria, who are having ministries. And actually, they are taking at face value what we tell them. We tell them that it's the best thing in the world to give your life to preach the gospel, and that people are going to hell without Christ, and they see that as the most important thing in the world. So we tell them, as Christians, we say that Christ is worth living for and dying for, and they're taking that literally, and they see this is the only hope for their Muslim friends, is that they would come to Christ. And so, in a sense, it's a sorrowful thing for the mission leader to have to deal with his responsibility of seeing a dozen people crucified. But at the same time, he knows that they were taking what he had said, and they were actually implementing what we as Christians believe, that for me to live as Christ and die as gain. And they were living that out. And their goal was that people would come to Christ, and that up to their dying breath, that was their whole goal, was that they would see people, their villagers, come to Christ. And that's really what we're about as Christians, is that we have eternal life to look forward to in heaven. And right now, our bodies are off of Jesus Christ, as living sacrifices, do what he wants. And so, in a sense, there is a comfort to know that these people were obviously regenerated and given their lives for Christ, and they lived that out. And they gave their lives, well, they're going to die anyway someday, and they gave their lives for something that was eternal, and they gave their lives for something that prayerfully will produce fruit in the lives of those who were impacted by their witness up to the time that they died.
In your conversations with this ministry director, how specifically is he using this, or has he mentioned, I know it's still early, and so maybe he doesn't know yet, but tragedy always has a way of shaping you a little differently. Is it doing that for him in the sense of, like, is this going to make him, share Christ more, or I don't know. Is that, like, clear? Do you know any of that?
I think that what he's going to do is probably be more forceful in encouraging these workers to leave when they know the area is falling to some kind of a hostile group. And he's going to put more pressure on them and saying, you really need to leave. But if these people felt called to stay, and he asked them to leave, and they said that we need to stay here. And And I think that the idea is that this one leader had planted 9 house churches, and he was the spiritual father over these 9, and they're all from Muslim background and become Christ followers. You don't want to leave those people behind. I mean, they're still there. They're vulnerable. But, you know, you feel like, okay, these are people that I've poured my life into, and they followed Christ. And how do these local Syrian missionaries just say, I'm going to leave? How do you do that when these are people that you've given your life to, and you led them to Christ, you discipled them? And so, in a sense, like the mission leader has a problem just saying you have to leave, because he knows these people have a real heart for the people they've been discipling. And I think no Christian would say that it's right just to leave everything just for your own safety, because we're actually slaves of a master, and we do what he tells us to do. And if they believe that Jesus Christ wants them to stay there, then the mission leader has no choice to say, well, you do what you believe God wants you to do. Even though, humanly speaking, it'd be nice to say, okay, I'm glad that I was able to get these workers out and protect the Christians. But at the same time, they believe that they're having a witness to ISIS, and they believe that there are people who are becoming believers in Christ because of their witness. And we trust that the blood of the martyrs will not be wasted.
And it's such a powerful subject, and I could go on and on with questions for you, but while I have you, I want to get a couple in on this Morningstar News article, because it's talking about the trauma being experienced by the kids of refugees. And it's talking specifically about a little girl who is having night terrors. Her father's a pastor, and he moved his family from basically ping-ponging around trying to flee ISIS. And it's kind of like the subtle ripple effects of ISIS, of terrorism, that we don't always think about, but it's important. I mean, it's the trauma is affecting kids and in their daily lives, I guess. Could you tell us more about that, and maybe what the indigenous missionaries, like how they're responding?
This ministry leader actually, a couple years ago, kept asking if there's a way for him to leave Syria, because, and not so much for himself, but because he had a wife and 3 girls, and he knew what would happen if they were overtaken. And his home's been taken over by a rebel group, and they've got his phone number, and they phone him over and over, and they keep threatening him. And the little girl, 6-year-old little girl, she hears that, what's happening, and so every night she has nightmares. And, you know, it's hard to know what's going to happen with her in the long run, but that's part of the price that the workers in Syria are playing, is that they're paying, because they have to figure out how to have a ministry, how to protect your family, and what do you do when your family's not handling things well. I know of a number of ministry leaders in Syria that have family, and they fear what's going to happen if they are taken over. Now, this particular guy referred to in that story, actually, he is like within 30 kilometers of ISIS, and so he knows where he is could be taken over. It's not easy for them, but same time, I appreciate very much the heart these people have and the ministry they're having, and they're seeing many people believe in Christ, and they are being the hands and feet of Christ right now, showing love to the people around them, and they're seeing great harvest. But they know their families are vulnerable, and that's always a hard balance. But I think even in the U.S., you have pastors and people in ministry. I mean, their children are sometimes vulnerable too, and even people, lay people involved in ministry. You know, sometimes that it's hard to know how to be a faithful parent and how to show love for your kids and be protective, but at the same time fulfill the calling that God has upon your life. And so I appreciate very much my hat goes off to the people who are staying there and having ministries, and in eternity, we'll look back and we'll see how Christ's name was greatly exalted just because of the faithful witness and the hearts of these people. They've given themselves to Christ to be living sacrifices for Him, and that's what's being lived out. And we need to pray for those parents that know how to, that they would know how to show care and protection over their children. And we need to pray for those kids. And there may come a time when we just need to be able to extract those people, get them evacuated, especially if they're in a place where they're going to be probably taken over. And that's one thing that we're Christian Aid is doing is we're trying to put together a fund so we can have funds to be able to evacuate people when we know they're going to be taken over. Especially, we're concerned about children, especially like that could easily be taken, raped, and made sex slaves and sold off to men as brides. We want to protect them, and that's one reason we're trying to collect funds, is so that we have funds available so that when that time comes, if it does come, we can make sure that those people are protected and gotten out.
And that you're leading perfectly into my next question, because I wanted to know what Christian Aid Mission is doing to come alongside these people and how our listeners can join you.
Well, one thing we're doing is making available that when ministry leaders and the people under them having ministries, when they know their area is going to fall to some kind of rebel group, that they will know that there are resources that can get them out. Like if they feel called to stay there, that's one thing. But even though one person may feel called, it doesn't mean that his wife and children feel called to stay there. And one thing we want to do is be able to have resources, be able to get them out when areas where we know it's going to fall within a very short time and they can no longer have ministries, then we won't be able to get them out. Now, again, if they want to stay there, that's one thing. If they believe God wants to stay there in a ministry to the dying breath, that's great. But like I said, the husband may feel that way, but it doesn't mean the wife and the kids are going to be in a position where they feel like they're called to do the same thing. And so we won't be able to get them out and have the funds for that. And so we definitely need that. And people need to pray for these vulnerable people that are having those kind of ministries. And, you look at Romans 8:36, and that little quote there is very, very true in that part of the world. But the whole context there within that passage about not being separated from the love of Christ, that is very applicable to these people, especially as you look at Romans 8:36 and what they're experiencing right now in a lot of those areas, that they are basically like sheep being slaughtered. And they're vulnerable there, but still nothing can separate them. And they're living that out, and they're able to live that out in a way that we in a safe society do not ever have to experience. But they're living out the truth of that passage into Romans 8, especially as they're experiencing Romans 8:36.
That wraps up all my questions for now. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
No, I appreciate very much the believers in the free world who have a heart of love for these people. And it's amazing the faith and the boldness of believers that are still in Syria. I appreciate very much those who are praying for them and want to help them. And this is a bigger issue, I think, than we comprehend. It's just amazing the turmoil and just all the pain that's been involved with people in the whole area there. And but I appreciate very much people praying for them, want to help them. And eternity will show really the fruit of that.
Amen to that. And I appreciate speaking with you and others from Christian Aid Mission about what's going on the front lines. And just to remind our listeners, I've been speaking with Steve Van Valkenburg, the Middle East Director for Christian Aid Mission. And we've been sharing the stories of Syrian believers that need your prayers and your help. And we'll explain all of that at our website. For now, Steve, thanks for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thanks for caring. Thank you.